The sermon that I want to share with you today has to do with finding gratitude in some of our most challenging times. It seemed to me that it's very, very easy, especially this time of year, Thanksgiving, we begin thinking about the things that we're grateful for. And we absolutely should always be grateful for the simple and many, many blessings of our lives. For a roof over our head, for a car that runs, for the food that we need, the simplest things every day. It's really important to take the time to express gratitude that most of our needs, most of the time, are being met. It's much more of a challenge to imagine ourselves becoming grateful when difficult times arise. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. I'm going to start with words called The Art of Facing Things, and this was written by Mark Nepo. Salmon have much to teach us about the art of facing things. In swimming up waterfalls, these remarkable creatures seem to defy gravity. It is an amazing thing to behold. A closer look reveals a wisdom for all beings who want to thrive. What the salmon somehow know is how to turn their underside from center to tail into the powerful current coming at them, which hits them squarely. And the impact, what does the impact do? Have you ever watched this? It launches them, right? The impact of that hit launches them out and further up the waterfall, to which their reaction is, again and again, to turn their underside back into the powerful current that, of course, hits them squarely, and this successive impact launches them further out and further up the waterfall. Pretty great, right? Their leaning into what they face bounces them further and further along their unlikely journey. From a distance, it seems magical, as if these mighty fish are flying, conquering their element. In actuality, they are deeply at one with their element, vibrantly and thoroughly engaged in a compelling dance of turning toward and being hit squarely that moves them through the water and the air to the very source of their nature. In terms useful to the life of the spirit, the salmon are constantly faithful in exposing their underside to the current coming at them. Mysteriously, it is the physics of courage that enable them to move through life as they know it so directly. Don't you love that line, the physics of courage? We can learn from this very active paradox, for we too must be as faithful to living in the open if we are to stay real in the face of our daily experiences. In order not to be swept away by what the days bring, we too must find a way to lean into the forces that hit us so squarely. The salmon offer us a way to face truth without shutting down. They show us how leaning into our experience, though we don't like the hit, moves us on. Time and again, though we would rather turn away, it is the impact of being revealed through our willingness to be vulnerable that enables us to experience mystery and grace. This is a marvelous example, the salmon, of the many gifts inherent in life's challenges. With the salmon, it's the difficult nature of their uphill swimming battle that teaches them how to adapt and indeed, of course, to thrive. Our lives, the environment and the circumstances in which we exist, are always doing this for us too. It's just that very often we tend to default to things like defeat or despair. We have to remember during these hard times that the power of spirituality and spiritual growth lie in the fact that they are fully embedded in the fabric of life. A virtuous life, a life well lived, is more than a matter of morality and more than a life well lived. It is a way to respond to what God expects of us, and it is a way to experience the divine. Where is God? Rabbi Harold Kushner asked. In courage, he answered, in determination, love, and hope. He went on, God is found in the incredible resiliency of the human soul, in our willingness to love, though we understand how vulnerable love makes us, in our determination to go on affirming the value of life, even when events in the world would seem to teach us that life is cheap. There is always, always a deeper dimension to our problems. Illness, accident, interpersonal conflicts, divorce, layoffs, death, these are more than just significant life events. They raise for us profound and sometimes even disturbing questions about our place and our purpose in this world. They point to the limits of our powers and they underscore our finitude. These are, as theologian Paul Tillich put it, matters of ultimate anxiety. The anxiety of fate and death, the anxiety of emptiness and meaninglessness, and the anxiety of guilt and condemnation. These deep questions always call for a spiritual response. We are living right now through a time that is ripe with the kinds of questions that challenge us deeply and profoundly. And despair is often the natural response to these circumstances, but despair does no one any good. A little is fine. We are allowed a little. But then we must recognize that we are being called through these challenging times to action. And it is precisely that action that brings us further along the evolutionary scale of spiritual growth. And for this, we should be deeply grateful for the opportunities that come to us embedded in our challenges. Sometimes we are facing a very, very difficult challenge, a friend with a dire diagnosis, aging parents, aging selves. We suffer when our children suffer. We watch the world around us changing in ways that are heartbreaking, and it's happening at a pace that makes it almost impossible to assimilate. All of it has the potential to break us. But then what? Then what? We absolutely must remember the central core tenets of our existence, that we are each here now at this moment in time with purpose, important purpose, every day of our lives until we take our last breath, and that our lives have meaning. Embedded in almost every single challenge, there is a gift. Difficult times might mean that I'm being offered a way to be useful. Difficult times might mean that I am being called to respond with courage and tenacity. Difficult times are asking something of every single one of us, and I can assure you that it is not complacency and it is not surrender. Difficult times offer us the opportunity to become the best version of ourselves. They ask us to dig deep inside to discover what's there. Some of you know that last week my son got married in New York City to a wonderful woman who is from Slovenia. There were 13 of us at the dinner table that night after the civil ceremony in the afternoon, including my new daughter-in-law, Michelle's brother, whose name is Tim. When Tim was 12 years old, he suffered a freak surfing accident that left him paralyzed from the waist down. He was told by the doctors then that he would most likely never walk again. But today, at 22, he completes marathons, he water skis, he snow skis, and he hikes tall peaks. He has walking sticks, and his legs don't work the way most of our legs work, but he simply refuses to give in. He absolutely refused right from the start to give in to that diagnosis. So for him, the unexpected onset of paralysis offered him the opportunity to become the strongest, bravest, and also most inspirational version of himself. He has an online presence that is inspirational to tens of thousands of people around the world. So I'd like to, with these words, invite you in the coming days and weeks to begin the practice of looking at the challenges of your lives and the narrative of these difficult times in a new way. Take whatever the story is that you're facing and look at it from a new angle, or perhaps through a new lens. Is there something embedded in this situation that actually might be an opportunity? Spiritual growth, this is what I say all the time, everywhere I go, I write it, I speak it. Spiritual growth is the name of the game here in the School of Life. This is why we're here. Unfortunately, it's all set up so that our most profoundly challenging opportunities come packaged in hard times. I don't know why it's like this, but if you look back at your own life, I know you know what I'm talking about. We've all lived long enough. The hardest, hardest days of our lives give us the opportunity to respond with the very, very best version of ourselves. And if we allow it to happen, we come out the other side of troubled times stronger, wiser, and more helpful, hopefully. I have heard it said, and I love this, that our difficult times allow us to become the lighthouse so that somebody else might not hit the rocks. The wonderful part about this great life is that we each have free will. Each and every situation, some are very small. The delayed flight, the driver in front of you who's going slower than you want to go. I know. I know. I have a little bit of driving stuff. The aging parents, or the person that we love with dementia, the loved one with cancer, the homeless person, the lonely person, the abandoned dog, the person we see up ahead of us in the grocery store whose card is rejected at the register. Every single hard story is an opportunity if you allow yourself to look at it that way. And for this truth, we really do need to learn how to be grateful. If we didn't have these opportunities, we would never grow. These moments, these small moments, big moments, every one of them is asking of us a very simple question. Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to stretch yourself outside of your comfort zone? Are you willing? Are you interested? Are you able? Will you try to become an improved version of you? It was around this time of year, November, I want to say 15 years ago or so, that I was standing in line at a Starbucks in South Burlington. It was a chilly morning. The line was very long, snaked through the front of the shop, up to the register, to the door. And I watched, as did pretty much everyone else in that line, we watched a gentleman come in through the door, walk up to the register, and ask the woman at the cash register a question. He looked perhaps like he might have been homeless. He looked disheveled, he looked tired, he looked cold. I labeled him a homeless person. We all watched as this gentleman went up to the register, probably asked for a cup of coffee. Simplest thing in the world, right? A hot beverage on a cold morning. The thing was that every one of us pretended that we didn't see what was happening. That man was cold. I bet he was hungry, tired, weary. The cashier turned him away, and so did all of us. By the time that I got to the register that morning, I was burning with shame and regret that I had let the moment pass. I probably thought at the time it would be embarrassing to step out of line, to make a bigger scene, to offer this man a dollar or whatever, $5 for a cup of coffee, to tell the woman at the register, please serve him, I'll pay. I was embarrassed that I had not acted. So I ordered 2 cups of coffee that morning, hoping I'd find him outside. And when I went outside, I looked everywhere, and he was nowhere to be seen. It was as if he vanished. It was really interesting. I promised myself that morning, I have never, ever forgotten that scene. And I promised myself that morning that I would never again meet the needs of this world with indifference or fear. I promised myself that, and it is a promise that literally lives in my bones. 15 years later, I am still ashamed of how I behaved that morning. But I am very, very grateful that it gave me the opportunity to make that promise to myself that I would change, and I have changed. Rabbi Heschel said it far better than I could ever possibly say it. Only one response can maintain us: gratefulness for the gift of the unearned chance to serve, to wonder, to love life and each other. And Mark Nepo gives us a very, very important instruction manual. In order to not be swept away by what the days bring, we must find a way to lean into the forces that hit us squarely. And I would add to that in my own humble way, lean into them and also say thank you. Amen. Thank you.